We were reminded of the conflict now going on in the Middle East, and a gruesome cruelty happened a few days ago that a fanatic Sunni group, ISIS, beheaded an American journalist before video cameras and then uploaded it on websites. This is Islamic fanaticism at its worst, to kill an innocent civilian in the name of serving Allah. Now, I wish I could say that Christians are free from this kind of fanaticism, and to a certain extent, yes, Christians do not resort to killing to promote their faith. But there can be other forms of fanaticism. It happens in times of conflict when we do not give grounds for restoration, and this is our series to encourage us that in times of conflict, sometimes it may worsen, but there are those moments when grace prevails and restoration is opened for us. And the letter of 2 Corinthians is a model of this restoration after a serious conflict between brethren. Ang ikalawang sulat ni Pablo sa mga taga-Korinto ay modelo, huwaran ng ganitong panunumbalik ng mga kapatiran matapos ang isang seryosong sigalot. The majority of the church repented and now in the process of restoration. However, there remains a minority still opposed to the Apostle Paul. And we are in that section where Paul is making comparison and contrast between his ministry and the ministry of his opponents. The comparison stands on biblical language, new covenant, law versus gospel, external versus internal, passing versus lasting. The superiority of Paul's ministry is not in who he is, but in what he proclaims. And the sustained contrast between Moses and Christ in the third chapter is intended to extend to the contrast of ministries. And the Apostle Paul proceeds to the issue of scriptures. And we learned in the last verses of the third chapter that one great advantage of the new covenant ministry which Paul exercises is liberty to understand scriptures. Itong isang kalamangan ng ministeryo na dinadala ni Pablo bilang bagong tipanan ay may kalayaan tayong unawain ang kasulatan na wala doon sa mga tinawag niyang super apostles. Another thing we learned from the first two verses of chapter 4 last Sunday is that a genuine gospel ministry engages in openness of the truth of the message. And I invite you now to turn to the next two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Familiar verses. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This is still part of Paul's sustained contrast between himself and his ministry and that of his opponents and their ministry. And Paul is now anticipating the objection of his opponents, who will probably say, Paul's message and method leave many still in unbelief. Parang sinasabi nila, kami popular, marami ang tumutugon sa aming mensahe. Samantalang si Apostol Pablo, ang kanyang mensahe, marami ang nananatili na walang pananampalataya. Because of Paul's message, because of Paul's method, many are left still in unbelief. And the question is, why? Is it because of the invalidity of Paul's message or of his method? And in our text, Paul gives an explanation which is very relevant to our understanding of ministry today. And that is my message for today. Satanic blinding of unbelievers creates barriers to the light of the gospel. Ang pagbubulag ni Satanas na mga hindi mananampalataya ay lumilikha ng mga hadlang sa liwanag ng Ebanghelyo. Satanic blinding of unbelievers creates barriers to the light of the gospel. Now, have you encountered or have you not encountered people who have heard of the gospel perhaps many times and yet remained hardened to it? How do you explain that hardness? Where we glory in the gospel's light, why can't others see that light? And this is the explanation. And there are two things I want to compare or contrast First, the blindness that grips the mind, ang kabulagan na gumagapos ng isip, the blindness that grips the mind. And secondly, the message that shines the light, ang mensahe na nagbibigay ng liwanag. The message that shines the light. So this is the contrast between what Satan is doing and what the gospel is doing. The first then, the blindness that grips the mind. Now the problem of interpretation posed by our text in verse 4 is the use of the title God of this world. There are many who cannot just accept the thought that Paul will call Satan God. And so there have been other interpretations of this during the early centuries. The church fathers interpreted this as God himself, as though acting in sovereignty, God himself is blinding the unbelievers so that they cannot believe. But that is artificial. Others still interpret this as making a God of this world. But all these are artificial understanding. The obvious reference here is to a power and rule that is malevolent in opposition to the gospel. So what this is teaching is simply that satanic power is behind the blindness that creates barriers to the gospel. Ang kapangyarihan ni Satanas ang nasa likuran ng mga hadlang na bumubulag sa mga tao sa ebanghelyo. So the title God of this world, or better, God of this age, is not intended to attribute deity to Satan. It reflects Paul's stark contrast following Jewish theology, that there is a stark contrast between this age and the age to come. But in Paul's theology, something radical has happened. Instead of a radical contrast, this age is present and the age to come is future. To Paul's thinking, this age continues, but the age to come has begun because of Christ's first coming, because of the finished work of the cross and of the resurrection. The age to come has invaded this age and is now creating that tension between this age and the age to come. And so when Paul calls Satan God of this age, he is acknowledging that there is power in him. There is the ruling power of Satan that grips the minds of people that belong to this age. He is the ruler of a host of forces. We call them demonic forces. Now, this is not to yield to superstitions. Hindi tayo bumibigay sa mga sari-saring pamahiin tungkol sa mga demonyo at mga masasamang espiritu. Gayunman, may katotohanan na turo yan sa salita ng Diyos. This reminds us that Satan is an active power whose main occupation is as the father of lies. There are people today who believe in Satan's activity, but they think it is to be found in openly demonic activities, such as demon possession. They look for demonic activity in occults, in evil miracles, and magic. And so they think what the church should be doing is a sort of power encounter with Satan. Just as there are evil and black miracles of the devil, we must present the divine miracles for ourselves. They see the work of Satan in the coven of witches, in the crystal ball of fortune tellers. But look at the text. What it is in man's constitution that Paul says Satan's blinding happens. Minds. It is in man's ability to think, to digest logic, to intellectually rationalize and make deduction. Satan is called the father of lies, and his main concern is what will promote his lies against the gospel. So I'll tell you what. Yes, Satan is in crystal balls, tarot cards of the occult, but Satan can be as active, perhaps even more active, where there is a PowerPoint presentation promoting error. Satan's blinding is operating where in modern labs, scientists are pursuing the case for evolution. So Satan is not just in occult instruments. He is in computer documents and programs and using Facebook pages. And the result of this blinding operation is that unbelievers are satisfied with their worldviews. Yan ang ginagawa ni Satanas. Binubulag niya hindi lang sa paraan ng mga occult na tinatawag natin, kahit sa mga modernong paraan at sa mga paggamit ng siyensya at iba pang mga bagay ay maaring naroon ang aktibong pambubulag ni Satanas. And that blinding creates bias against the Christian teaching and message. It creates prejudice against the Bible. Now, of course, no one will admit to indulging in anything demonic, but that is just the point. Blindness, not knowing that they are being gripped by a force that blinds them to the gospel. And Satan's lie is served best by hiding his identity and presence, better to use science and rationality. And you may be in that grip, my friend. Baka hindi mo nalalaman, nagagapos ka ng ganyang kabulagan. May tinatangkili ka na paniniwala, at nang dahil sa paniniwala na yan, nabubulag ka sa ebanghelyo na hindi mo nalalaman. One ability of animals, both for attack and defense, is the camouflage, the ability to adapt to the environment so that they cannot be seen. And probably no better ability than the chameleon, yung hunyango. You know what a chameleon does? It adapts to the color of its environment and it can change colors. That's what Satan does. And without realizing it, people are swallowing hook, line, and sinker demonic lies, not from occult gurus, but from a well-done presentation by PowerPoint. And it's still blinding. And the challenge to us as a church and as those who present the gospel is cultivate both humility and wisdom in dealing with barriers in the minds of unbelievers. Kailangang linangin natin ang kababaang loob at karunungan kung paano tayo makikitungo sa sari-saring hadlang nasa mga hindi mananampalataya. In Grace Ministerial Academy now, one of our subjects is apologetics. It is a more scholarly treatment of these barriers. And I don't mean to say that we need to be scholarly in treating these barriers, but then what we need first is humility. The worst way to address this barrier among unbelievers is to be arrogant, to be contemptuous of their views. And as much as we may reject their views, we are not to be contemptuous. We must come back to our own period of unbelief, how we too, at a certain period of our lives, lived once in blindness and unbelief. Minsan din tayo namuhay sa kabulagan, sa kawalan ng pananampalataya. And those of us who minister to unbelievers with particular barriers need to have the wisdom to deal with them. Barriers are different with different individuals. Some are intellectual, some are more emotional, and we need believers in the realm, for example, of the academe, who reject intellectual integrity and yet are humble believers. It's one of the best testimonies there can be. This is one of our most effective answers to blindness, to have in combination intellectual integrity and faith. Pag pinagsama natin ang integridad sa ating karunungan, ngunit may pananampalataya, this will address intellectual barriers. Those who have issues with creation, those who have issues with the event of the resurrection, those who doubt biblical authenticity, we don't mean to attack them with contempt, but then we need to deal with their barriers. With some, we have to deal with emotional bias. Their problem is, why is there evil and suffering in the world which is supposed to be under God's control? There is an answer to that, but you see, it creates bias. And others think of certain events in history, the Crusades. Why would Christians do that? We can answer them that they were done by the Catholics at the perpetration of the Pope. But they don't make distinctions. You see, that's an emotional bias. But if unbelievers remain adamant in their unbelief, Paul is explaining here, the problem is not in the clarity of the gospel. The problem is in their eyes. They are blinded. The problem is that they are veiled. They have blinders created by satanic description, and the church is given the solemn and sobering responsibility to, by the grace of God, liberate them from that slavery. Today is the birth anniversary of William Wilberforce, born on August 24, 1759, and you have often heard me relate his campaign in the British Parliament for the liberation of slaves. First, he succeeded in repealing the law that permitted slave trade, and then 25 years later, slavery itself was abolished. We are facing a greater slavery than black slavery. We are facing the slavery of souls. And we too need to be zealous in our campaign. And what we are up against is not simply that they have their own religion. It's not simply that they have been born and bred in their beliefs. What we are up against is worse than that. Satan has blinded them, as we once were. But then we have in the second place the message that shines the light. Ang mensahe na nagbibigay liwanag. What blindness keeps unbelievers from seeing, Paul says, is the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So what is the light of the gospel? Is this, it is not simply that we have better beliefs than they. What they are not seeing is the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ is the light that the gospel shines that only saving faith can perceive. Ang tinatawag nating liwanag ng Ebanghelyo ay hindi lamang yung may tama tayong doktrina. Ang liwanag ng Ebanghelyo ay ang kaluwalhatian ni Kristo na tanging masisilayan lamang ng pananampalataya. And you see, it is possible for an unbeliever to see many things in the Bible, appreciate its stories, even believe its doctrines, and many more. But what they fail to see because of their blinders is the glory of Christ as Lord and Savior. They can glory in the stories of the Bible, such as the flood and Jonah and all these other familiar stories. And the devil may even release them to that extent. Those of you who have been privileged to be raised in the church and probably believe many biblical stories and teachings, but you remain blind to the glory of Christ. More will be said in the following verses concerning the glory of Christ. But my point here and Paul's point here is that this is the light of the gospel. Satan may release his captive to the point of knowing many things in the Bible, even in the gospel, but he will do everything to keep him blind to the glory of the person and work of Christ. This is the reason why faith is sometimes described in the Bible as seeing Christ. Until there is faith, one is blind to Christ. The glory of Christ is called light because it gives sense to everything. Once he is savingly known, Satan will offer other fake lights. They give some semblance of meanings, but will prove false. It is the gospel that gives the true sense of life in this world. It gives you the true light. The gospel of John has 7 I am sayings of Jesus in order to identify who he is. And one of those sayings in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We were reminded how in the aftermath of Glenda, many of our places suffered from power failure. Some for a few days, others for weeks. Remember your reaction when light at last returned? What joy you met that return of light. And that's only a few days or few weeks. Imagine a man who is in darkness for years and years. And then light comes in the form of the glory of Jesus Christ. And you know what that calls us? What that challenges us as a church? Be convinced that the remaining issue still is believe or perish. Dapat nating panghawakan na ito pa rin ang issue ng Ebanghelyo. Manampalataya ka o mapapahamak ka. That's what Paul said. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. To be blind to the gospel is not just to have another belief. To be blind to the gospel is not just something that results in another lifestyle. For Paul, to be blind to the gospel means to perish. If you die in your sin without faith in the gospel, this is still the issue. And many Christians today, sadly, have waned in this belief. They have lost sense of the exclusiveness of the gospel. But Paul is unwavering in his stand. He restored his relationship with those who return to the gospel, but those who will not return to the message of the gospel, there is no restoration, even if they are in the minority. And this is something that we need to hold with conviction. This is the soul of the gospel mission. Pag mawala ito, walang gaanong motibo para sa mission. We are still confronted with the devil who knows this. The devil knows this, that if he could keep souls in their blindness, they will perish with him. And that is what he likes. We need churches and ministries that are firm with all the gentleness and compassion necessary to fight the devil. Is not in the language of the exorcist always casting out. To fight against the devil, listen to Paul in his 2 Timothy letter 2:24 and following, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So ultimately, the fight is against the devil, but it's not in the casting out language. It's compassion. It's gentleness of the messenger. Satan will still master every effective tactic to accomplish his goal, blindness to the gospel of Christ. For our part, we must use every grace and gift distributed by the Holy Spirit for the clarity of the gospel. What part are you playing to contribute to this goal? You parents to your children. You converted children to your unbelieving parents. Tomorrow we will once again be ministering to Sunday school teachers representing many churches. Why do we do this? Because Satan starts with children in his blinding activity that they live with to adulthood. And sometimes ignorant, though sincere, Sunday school teachers become instruments in that blinding activity. By making Bible stories nothing more than stories, rather than point to redemption. And that is what we are seeking to teach them humbly, to share together the ministry of fighting Satan even for the minds of our children. So where do you contribute to this shining of the gospel light? Dr. Paul Brand is a medical missionary who served many years among the lepers of India. He relates that some lepers go blind because leprosy has rendered them unable to blink. And when one is unable to blink, soon the moist of the eyes will dry. And you see the irony. Eyes that are always open, that they can no longer see. And spiritually, many are in that condition. They have open eyes. The gospel is placarded before them. And yet, they remain blind. And our desire and our prayer is for them to open their eyes. And what we need as a church is to continue to believe this is still the issue. Believe or perish. And let us together muster every effort to shine the light of the gospel on blinded people. If they remain blind, it is because Satan is blinding them, and there is only one way for them to see, and that is by the work of the Holy Spirit, that they may be regenerated and see the glory of Christ in the gospel. And our conviction is that there is always room for everyone who will call upon the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, nawa nga ay matanggap namin ang paliwanag na nanggaling sa aming teksto kung bakit marami ang nananatili sa kawalan ng pananampalataya. Hindi ito problema ng kawalan ng liwanag ng Ebanghelyo, kundi dala ng kabulagan na gawa ng aming kaaway na si Satanas at ng kanyang mga pwersa. And when we think of this, may we realize what power we are facing. And unless that power of the Holy Spirit attends the ministry of the gospel, people will remain blind. And yet we believe in the power of the gospel. We believe in the light that the gospel shines. And grant, O Lord, that we may continue to be convinced that the issue still is believe or perish. We pray for those who still are in unbelief, that they may realize the seriousness of their condition, that it is not just that they have a different lifestyle, a different cluster of beliefs or religion, but that they are perishing. Because only Christ can save. Only Christ can give the life that is redeemed. And we ask, O Lord, that you may clear this in their thoughts, that they may hasten to come to Jesus for their salvation. And for us as a church, help us, Lord, to continue contributing to what we can through gifts and graces that will sustain the ministry of the church in letting the gospel shine on this darkened world. And grant, O Lord, that all will redound to your honor, and that it will indeed let Christ in his glory shine upon each one. So be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.